Now, these are yamim that as early as 600 years ago, the year 551-50, are they brought as yamim of tainis, yamim of tshuva. It's brought from the Arizal that these days are days of tshuva, al oisoi hachet, days of tshuva that have to do with the shmira, shmiras habris, yom that have to do with tshuva of averus, shmiras ha'inayim. It's brought up in Kabbalah specific tefillahs that are said on Erev Shabbos. There's svarim full of tefillahs from the Mekubalim. So it's a time when it's traditional to learn the halachas that are halachas that are beinish l'ishtay. I'd like to, and many times, people don't have a chance to learn these halachas. They learn these halachas in a peripheral way, in a quick way, before they get married. If they have a chance, they learn it maybe a little bit more in depth. But many things become forgotten. Sometimes things become forgotten because we really didn't absorb them the first time. Sometimes in our daily life, there'll be a situation, and we're going to go through a few of those situations, where a person has a heter to do something for a specific reason. And that heter ultimately becomes a practice, a common practice. And that is something that's very unfortunate and very wrong. And there are a lot of details that are involved. I'd like to just start, when we talk about the details, we'll talk about, there are some derises, there are many derabonans. The harchokos are something we're going to focus on in Mitzvah Shem at the next year, in 2 weeks, hopefully 2 weeks from tonight. Next week there won't be a shir. I would like to split the shir into basically 3+ shirim. Tonight, what I'd like to discuss is A, how a woman becomes a nida, and how a woman becomes ois nida. And the Zionikim, and all the different, many, many different shilas that come up. I hope that kimat nothing will be new to you tonight, but it'll be a good refresher. Emir Tzashem, the next time I would like to discuss in depth, maybe we'll even start our focus tonight, but we'll discuss the practice while a woman is a nida, the practice being initial ishtoi. After that, I would like to discuss Vestos, and I would like to devote some of that time also to Chafifa, preparation for the mikveh, and actually Chatzitza for tefillah. And I would also like to discuss at that time different challenges that come up, including questions of this I'd rather not take. But there are people who probably would want to discuss things in terms of family planning. And I'd like to bring up the shailas and the shailas that are asked and the shailas that should be asked and must be asked and unfortunately are not asked. We got to be that. I'd like to start. Many times we think that details, we spoke about the details, the dot-com details, we spoke about Shabbos. I'd like to discuss, just to start as a haschol, even though we're not going to focus on the harchokas, a Gemara, Daf Yud Gimel in Shabbos, where the Gemara tells us, Maise b'talmud echod, this is not on the page, Keshona harbe, he learned much, V'kora harbe, and he read Mikra, V'shimesh talmid echachamim harbe, he was mishamesh many talmid echachamim, and he died in midlife. His wife took his tefillin. And she went to the Bate Knesiyas, to the Bate Midrashas, and to the Bate Midrashas. It's written in your Torah that this is your life. The Torah is your life. And Eirich Yamechla, Torah guarantees long life. Bailey, my husband, Sheshona Harbe, he learned so much, Vikara Harbe, and he read so much, Vishimesh Tamil Chachamim Harbe, Mipneima Meis Bechatzi Yama. Why did he die so young? Bechatzi Yama. Nobody can answer her. She told the whole story. What did he do with you? What was he with you when you were in Nida? Omrali, she said to me, Chas v'shalom, afilu be'etzbektana lo noga. He didn't touch my mamash even the etzbektana. And the Gemara goes on and discusses that he wasn't so makbid in the harchokos. And since he wasn't so makbid in the harchokos, the Gemara says, Baruch hamokim shehargosh, shalai nasaponim l'teirim. After they found out he wasn't so makbid in the harchokos of Nida, so the Hakert, they said, Baruch hamokim shehargosh, it's Baruch Hashem that he died young. Shalai nasaponim b'teirah, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't show favoritism in his judgment to Torah. Shari amra Torah vel isha benidas tumasa leisikrav. It says in Parak, Elisha benidas tumasa leisikrav, one cannot approach her, and therefore it was fakert, it was just that he be killed at such a young age. Very, very, it's a grace of davar chomer. Nida is a big davar chomer, and it's an intricate halachas. So I'd like to first discuss bichlal. And I started off my first underlined line over here. What renders a woman nida? Nida is the iraisa or suffik the iraisa. Now, when we talk about nida is the iraisa or suffik the iraisa, I write here no shiur requirement. I want you to know, I want to tell you that there is a very, very common, it's unbelievable because I'm sure anybody who learns Hilchas Nida with anyone who knows anything is taught that even the smallest amount of dam renders a woman a Nida. We're going to see in part Roman numeral 2 that only when it comes to a stain on a beged is there any issue of a size. But a woman sees the smallest, the first halacha in Hilchas Nida, afilu tipas dam kechardel, even the smallest amount of dam, she's your sheves zayin nikim, she has to have zayin nikim. Now, that's very important. If you look at the first thing, with a hargosha, hargosha is defined, and we'll see the cases, but an awareness of a flow. A hargosha is an awareness that she's seeing dam. Or she's feeling what is the feeling of seeing done. A woman becomes a nida even if the smallest amount of blood exits the womb, exits the uterus. Okay? Dam, nida, is dam that comes out of the uterus, out of the kerev, the rechem, which is called the kerev or the rechem. Now this includes dam that is placental dam. Sometimes a woman will be pregnant. Okay? And the placenta sometimes, that ruptures, it could rupture too, but the placenta sometimes falls, comes off the wall a little bit. A woman who is pregnant can also become nida. A woman, unless there are specific cases of specific makos, that will not make her a nida, but any other dam that comes out of the womb is dam nida. Okay? Dam nida can be caused by, and we'll talk about it later, even by an insertion of something into the uterus. By a doctor, we'll see, we'll talk about it later. But any dam that comes out, the smallest amount makes her a nida de iraisa. Okay? And that is with a hargosha. Hargosha is one of two things, one of three things. One is the first case of hargosha, if you look at the first Pesachei Chuvin, Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, nizdaza kol gufa. That means her entire body quakes and shakes. I don't know of any such situation in our day and age, that's why I write not applicable in today's times. The next one, there are women who report such a thing. It's questionable as if it does exist. Bizman Chazal certainly talked about it. It's called niftach pi hamakur. That literally means she feels the opening of her womb open. Almost as if when a person urinates, a person feels the opening of the bladder open, the same thing. But the opening of the uterus, where a woman will feel the opening of the uterus. That is, it's not very common, but it could be such a feeling. Then there is a third thing, which is called zivas dover lach. That is a feeling of an actual lachlos, a flow of liquid or discharge, which is the most common type of hargosha. There is a discussion in the Poskim about Zivas Davar Lach, what it means, Zivas Davar Lach. Does it mean a Zivas Davar Lach all the way inside? Or does it mean a Zivas Davar Lach in the vaginal canal? Not all the way up at the womb, but actually in the vaginal canal. Okay? This is the most common type of Hargosha. Most Poiskim or Machmer, that this Zivas Davar Lach is even after, is even in the vaginal canal, a feeling of a flow or a discharge. Okay? Now, what is this Nageya to? What this is Nageya to is two different things. B, if a woman has any of these types of hargoshes, okay, l'mashal, if she normally sees that, she feels piyam akarov, or she feels zivas dover lach, okay, she went to the mikveh 3 days ago, she's totally b'cheskes ta'ira, she's not expecting her period, and she feels a flow, she must make a bedikah. She must take a bedikah cloth and check to see what she felt that. Because the halacha is the following. Roiv dam comes b'hargosha. Roiv dam comes with a hargosha. That, and the reverse is also true. Roiv hargoshes have dam. Which means that if you have a hargosha, you're going to see dam. I'll be right. So the halacha becomes a very interesting halacha. If she goes and she checks and she finds something, she finds a liquid, a clear liquid, a light yellow liquid, something that's tahira, she's 100% tahira. If she finds dam, she's 100% tmeya. What if she finds nothing? If you look at the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, if she finds nothing, of course it says she has to shela. That was the halacha. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is she's tmeya. She's tmeya because we assume, since we know that if she had a hargosha, so she saw dam. So she must have missed it. She must have lost it somewhere. Where you find the hargosha, where she had hargosha, and she finds something that's tahira, so we'll say that was the hargosha. But if she finds nothing, so we're going to have to assume that roiv hargoshas have dam. The only way she loses that is if she finds something that's a good mara. Okay. However, bizman hazeh, if there are other ways of being toilet, where lamashul, if she's wearing tight fitting underwear, she wears briefs or something that where it's not shaykh if we've gone anywhere else. So, most poskim will be makel in that situation, but a shayla must be asked. Now, there are two other, the next case is more common. This is the case of Safik Da'iraisa, where a woman is involved in an activity that could mask a hargosha. Hargosha means the feeling of the flow, or the feeling of niftach pi makpi hamakar. Let's say a woman makes a bedikah. If a woman makes a bedika on a day, she's mechuyevis to make a bedika. She makes a bedika. She makes a bedika. If she finds any dam on that bedika cloth, she's not. That's not considered a stain. What is that considered? That's considered like a deraisa. Because when she goes and makes a bedika, while she's making a bedika, she could have had what? She could have really had hargosha. So if at that point she could have had hargosha, she thinks it's really the bedika cloth that she's feeling. So therefore, any amount of dam will render her an ida. Any amount of dam. Now, two is immediately following urination. And immediately is a very important term. Let me tell you, the first shayla I had as a rav. It's actually the second shayla. It was actually with the same person. The first shayla was, do you need havdalah b'makom hadlaka on Hanukkah, which is luyasha amaratis. But I was a 29-year-old... being a man in the kailo, and I get an emergency beep with 911. Those are when people have beepers. I don't think people have beepers anymore. Kind of beep with 911. I was in the middle of a mimer. I remember it was a mimer in yeshiva. So I go down to the phone. This woman, she has to go to the mikveh tonight. She went to the bathroom and she saw dam in the toilet. She saw blood in the toilet. So the shaila is, what's the halacha? Okay. So now, this is a very, very important question. Now this case, by the way, is not as common as the next case I'm going to give you. But the halacha is the following. This is a very important halacha. Even though, the halacha, if you were looking at the Shulchan Aruch, it would seem that any small amount of dam in the toilet bowl, in the water in the toilet bowl, would render her an ida. The halacha is that she needs a shear for this case. There has to be a certain amount of dam. But I'm going to give you the next case, and I'm going to come back to this case. Let's say a woman wipes herself after going to the mikveh. This is the number one most common shayla asked to any moira hirah. The most common shayla asked. My wife went to the bathroom, she wiped herself, and she found on a tissue, dam. What should she do? Well, the first thing you always know is she found the titit on the tissue. Where's the tissue? It was flushed. Always. Okay? The second question we ask is, why'd she look? The halacha is the following. This is the halacha, and it's a very, very, very chomedic halacha. Since while urinating, one can feel something, one can mask hargasha. If immediately after urinating, right, if a woman wipes herself with a tissue, okay, so that is as if it was like a bedikah. Even though it's an external wiping, but if she sees dam on this tissue, so this has a halacha as if she had a hargasha. Because we have a suffix if she had a hargasha. This is like, if she made a bedikah, any small amount will make her a nida, so too over here, because maybe she had a hargasha and now we see dam. So if it's immediately following urination, one has a very big problem. Now, what do I usually ask a woman? I usually ask a woman, were you in a rush to go out of the bathroom? Okay? Because if a woman stops urinating, you usually do not wipe yourself immediately. It could be a few seconds, five seconds, 4 seconds, amount of time. We are at that point already, we're not dealing with an immediate issue. If we're not dealing with an immediate issue, then there is makom to be makom. If it was done immediately, it is a very big problem. The most important thing is that a woman should not look. If she does look, she should not get rid of it. She should keep it and show it as a shayla. If she saw it red, so it doesn't make a difference. But if it's a shayla, she doesn't know what color it is, it's something that has to be asked. Okay? That's another case. The third case is immediately following tashmish. During relations is something that also a vada could mask a hargasha, and therefore the same issue would apply if she sees dam and finds dam immediately afterwards. There is a problem of suffix deraisa. And over here, in every one of the cases I just gave you, there is no shear requirement except for the one when she found it in the toilet bowl, which we'll talk about soon. These are cases of nidus deraisa. Okay? Normally, if she does not urinate, a woman does not urinate. Okay? The halacha, she's not immediately after urinating, and she wipes herself, and she finds dam on the tissue. That's going to be another shayla, another thing we're going to discuss, the reason why there's makom to be made. Nidais derabbanan. There's something called a tumas kesem. Okay? A tumas kesem is when a woman finds dam, and there is no hargasha. She hasn't felt any hargasha. But she finds it either on a beged, on a sheet, or on her body. Okay? Or an area that's assumed to have come from the woman. In other words, we can reasonably assume that the dam came from me'oisei mokoim, okay, she becomes a nida. Okay? This nida is not nida d'iraisa. A nida d'iraisa is a nida that has a hargosha. She does not have a hargosha. She found a stain. Okay? What are the criteria for her for this stain to make her into a nida? One, the blood has to be found on a color, on a white surface. The Chachamim, this is Exeri Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that they only said that it's dam if it's only metame if it's on a white surface or on her guf. I should have written that. Or on her guf. That's the first case. If it's colored, even if you can safely assume it's blood, it's not tame. The Chachamim did not say that that's a nida. Number two, the blood has to be found on a dover hamekabel tumah. That has to be on something that is a dover hamekabel tumah. A dover hamekabel tumah, the Chachamim said, the case of the Gemara is, if a woman is sitting on the ground, she's not wearing any undergarment, she's sitting on the ground and she gets up and she sees blood. That is not a makam hamekabel tumah. If it's not a makabel tumah, she's not tmeya. So if you find dam on a non-makabel tumah, it is not tumah. This is where the issue comes on a tissue paper. Okay? In the first case, we had a tissue paper, was immediately after urination, that's not negated to this, because that's an assumed hargasha, or a questionable hargasha. Over here, there's no hargasha. The woman went to the bathroom, or the woman stamped. The woman wants to wipe herself, right? Or, another case, a woman goes and she takes a sanitary napkin. She's afraid maybe she's going to see dam. Right? Or you could have a case where a woman, lamashal, she had tashmish. And she has zera coming out of her. So she wants to put a napkin there. Right? A sanitary napkin there. And now she goes and she sees a stain on it. Okay? She sees a stain on this napkin. So now there was no hargosha. Right? So what is the din? Okay? What is the din in this case? So now, a sanitary napkin, most of them are made from reprocessed fibers, and it's a very big shaila if this has a din of a keli. Okay? The flip side of this is that many women, and this is important, I'm going to talk about the Zayin Nikiyim soon, but in the Zayin Nikiyim, a woman will wear, she's supposed to wear white undergarments, right? Some women, I found women that come to me with shaylus on Zayin Nikiyim, they have a black undergarment, and they have a white sanitary napkin, a pad inside for the Zayin Nikiyim. It's white, so it's no problem. This is my white beged. That is not acceptable. That is not proper. A woman for the Zayin Nikiyim has to wear white undergarment. She cannot use something that's not a keli. It has to be something that's a makabel tuma also. Okay, we'll get to that in the Zayin Nikiyim, but the point over here is the following. In order for a kesem to be a kesem, a woman, it has to be a dabar makabel tuma. Sanitary napkin is a shayla. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about synthetic material. Let's say a woman is not wearing cotton underwear. Right? Let's say a woman is wearing a synthetic brief, a synthetic, some sort of nylon or something. That's also a very big shayla. Tissue paper is one of the most common shayla. With tissue paper, the issue over here is there's a pisuk tshuva in Shulchan Aruch that discusses whether paper is a keli that's mekabel tumah. We write on paper, is it considered a keli? Same thing with tissue paper, does it have a shem of a keli? Most poskim hold that tissue paper does not have a shem of a keli. Therefore, even if a woman found a large shear of dam on tissue, if it was not immediately after urination or any of these type of situations, a woman would, most poskim, would be makel in that situation. The third criterion is a stain. The stain has to be a size of a gris v'oid. Okay? That's the shear in Chazal. A gris v'oid means a larger than a gris. What is that shear? Basically, it's a shear of what we call now, I believe, an area of 19 millimeters. Basically the size of a U.S. penny. Now, of course, it doesn't come out in the exact size of a U.S. penny, in the exact circle. If it's on a beged, it has to be contiguous, okay? Meaning, it has to be connected. It can be in any shape, but it's contiguous. If it's on the skin, if a woman finds dam on her skin, it does not have to be one mass. It does not have to be contiguous. If it's spots of dam, if all the dam adds up to a gris, v'oid, then she is tmeya. On a beged, okay, on a beged, it has to be all connected. If it's not all connected, then it is mutter. There's actually a very interesting thing. Sometimes people have in the underwear, there's like folds in the underwear. And if you take the fold off, it's not one piece. Most places can hold that will not make one shear. It's not considered a contiguous thing. Even though if they're folded like this, and you look this way, right, it looks like one piece. But if you pick it up and it separates, it's considered separate. Now, legabe, it's a very big kula. Okay. Yes.
When you say white circle, what about, let's say, the underwear itself is colored, but the inside is a line.
So that's fine. That's fine. That's part of the beged. The case I was talking about was a pad that you line the pad, which is not a makabel tuma. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, I really want to get moved. Okay. Okay, in either case, the halacha is like this. The chachamim mesakin, the nashim, we were mekabel on ourselves, and the chachamim mesakin. That every woman has to be yosheves zayin nikiyim. When a woman sees dam, whether it's a kesem, whether it's a flow of dam, whether she had argosha, she is a nida, and in order for her to become ois nida, she has to have zayin nikiyim. Just as a background, lahalach midairaisa. A woman who sees dam as a nida, normally be'es nidosa, will have to wait how many days in order to be toivel? Midaraisa, 7 days. Can she be bleeding all those 7 days? 100%. If she's bleeding for 7 days, she can go to mikvah on the seventh day, after the 7 days. That is midaraisa. Midarabanan, and this is not to be played with at all, ever, 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 the chachamim required zayin nikiyim because of a suffix zava. A zava requires 7 clean days. Okay, those 7 clean days cannot start until the chash of a woman emitting semen is over. Now, a woman emits semen that is live for 3 days. There are sfeikas, a suffix that maybe she had tashmish with her husband before the 3 days, or a samach leben hashmashes, which comes out to a suffix of 5 calendar days. So before a woman can count zayin nikiyim, we all know she needs 5 calendar days. In most cases, there are some times when it can be 4 calendar days. What I mean by calendar days, of course, is that if she sees dam a minute before Shkia, today, Tuesday, was day 1. Day Wednesday is day 2. Day Thursday is day 3. Day Friday is day 4. The Shabbos is day 5. The first day of Hazayin Nikiyim is Sunday. Okay? In specific situations, Lemashal, a woman can't become pregnant. Okay? Sometimes the halachas can make it that a woman goes to mikveh a day late. And the day she goes to the mikveh is 3 days after she ovulates, which would make it almost impossible for her to become pregnant, because after a woman ovulates, the egg is only fertile for 2 days. But generally, 2 days, 3 days, sometimes 4 days. But if some such a situation can happen, so it could be that it's mamish on the cusp. So in such a situation, a woman can go to mikveh, can start hazayin nikiyim after four calendar days. Another situation, which comes maybe more nageya, whether a woman's night of tefillah will come out on a Friday night, and she's not near a mikveh. Well, mashal, this happens many times in the country. In such a situation, if a woman could be mafsik with the hayra after 4 days, this is not to be done by yourself. Okay? But there are certain situations where a rav will paskin that she can wait 4 days to start her zayinikim and not 5 days. Okay? But a woman is required to have Zayin Nikim. Those Zayin Nikim generally cannot start until after the fifth calendar day. Now, the next thing I wrote over here is, it's on the sheet here, is in terms of the possibility that a blood came from a wound. I should have done this a little earlier on the sheet. Now, this is a very important issue, okay? Many times I will look at you, someone will look at a batika cloth and say, I'm not sure, it could be that your wife has a maka. And you'll find most times out of night, a person can tell in terms of the consistency of the maka, a person who has a trained eye can tell that there might be a maka. So even if a woman made a bedikah and she sees dam, not necessarily is she going to be a nida if possibly there is a wound, that there is a definite wound there. Okay? And in terms of a kesem, we're toiling even more. In terms of a kesem, if a woman has, we don't even know of a wound, but there's a possibility of a wound, there are times you'd be toiling. This should all be brought out. If a person brings a shayla for Rav, this all should be brought out, the possibility of a maka. In terms of becoming a nida, going to the doctor is a challenge sometimes. A routine exam, even if a doctor does an internal and goes inside the yisha, there is no reason to assume that any dam is that there's any dam. Many doctors routinely, a woman will go biannually or annually, she should go for a pap smear exam, which they take a very long Q-tip and they smear into the back of the cervix, the top of the cervix, to check for any possible evidence of the onset of a cervical cancer or any other things. There is no reason to assume that this should cause a woman to bleed. There's no chiyuv to ask the doctor. Sometimes a doctor will say, I saw blood. Now, if the doctor sometimes might scratch the woman and they'll say, I caused it. There's a big schmooze in the paiskim, are you allowed to believe a doctor? In many cases, you're allowed to believe a doctor, but you should ask a shayla. It's very nageya. Sometimes it's nageya, it could be more chomer. Let's say the guy comes out with a Q-tip and she sees the dam. That's a little different. There, we come into the issue before. If she doesn't see the dam and he says, there's like a pesha asa. He told me there's a dam and he's telling me where the dam's coming from. Otherwise, generally a doctor is believed, but a shayla should be asked if dam is found during an exam. Sometimes the doctor will use a speculum to open up the cervix to be able to see better. That also generally will not cause a woman to be a nida. However, there are procedures where there is an opening of the womb. The halacha is ein psichas hakever beloy dam. Okay? The halacha is that a woman's womb does not open without giving dam. Okay? Now, this is very nageya, mostly very, very nageya, when a woman is giving birth. Sometimes a woman will be in labor for a long time. She'll lose her mucus plug early, or she doesn't see that dam, and her cervix is open and it's dilating, right? So there's a big schmooze by Rav Moshe, and then he asked him, how open court makes it that a woman is going to have a din of a nida? Even if she didn't see dam, since there's a klal, ain't psichas hakever beloy dam, she's going to have to have a what? She's going to definitely have dam. That's also something that a person has to ask a shayla. Generally, the place can range between 2 to 4 centimeters. If it's 4 centimeters, a woman is considered a nida. Even if she's walking around and fine, she would have a din of a nida. And this is also nageya, when a doctor will put something, do some sort of procedure where he's opening up over there, it's nageya to know how large. Okay. In terms of the Zayin Nikim, this is very nageya, and I'd like everyone to pay full attention, because there's a little bit of intricacies over here. For a woman to become tahira, there is one bedika that if she doesn't do that, forget it. That's the hefsek tahira bedika. The hefsek tahira bedika is to be done It's absolutely ma'akiv, and it's to be done after she stops seeing them. Now, generally, when is it done? Generally, 5 days is a minimum what a woman's going to see done. So generally, a woman will make a bedika. She should make a bedika before shkia. Before shkia, it's a big machlokes in the poskim, how much after mincha gedola, mincha ktana, but towards the evening before shkia. Okay. Now, let's say a woman didn't see dam that day. She didn't see a flow of dam that day. Okay. She should still do bedika samach le'erev, but if she made a bedika in the morning, that's also okay. Okay. Now, the issue arises when she definitely has to do the bedika before the evening, when today was the first day she saw dam. I'll give you a for instance. A woman sees dam one day, and she wants to make a hefsek kairin there. She's not going to be able to do Zayin Nikiyim for another 4 days. She can do that, right? Let's say a woman stops seeing dam after 3 days. She can make a hefsek kairin on the third day, and when she starts Zayin Nikiyim, after the fifth calendar day, you can do that. That's not a problem. So if she sees dam Sunday afternoon, right? And she wants to make a hefsek kairin Tuesday night. So Sunday was day one, Monday was day two, Tuesday was day three, Wednesday is day four, Thursday is day five. She can start a Zayin Nikiyim Thursday night, but she can make a hefsek kairin 2 days before. That's fine. Okay. So let's say she wants to make a hefsek kairin the day that she sees dam, that she saw dam the first time. Okay. If she saw dam that day, she definitely should make her bedika, has to make her bedika in the evening. Or early, before shkia, close to the evening. Let's say it's the first day she saw dam. Not only does she have to make her bedika samach le'erev, but there's another thing that's ma'akiv. And that's the next thing. A moich dokuk. The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says, that a person should always, le'olam, a person should be melamed b'toyf beisoy, that his wife should put a moich dokuk. And after the hefsek taira, after shkia, or at the advent of shkia, a woman should put a moich dokuk in, and it should be there the entire bein hashmashes. This is to ensure that the entire process, the beginning of the Zayin Nikiyim, starts absolutely b'tahira. Now, the moich dokuk, even by people that are very, very abgehiten, somehow, some way, it becomes, sometimes it becomes a lost in some families. And this is a classic scenario where there are certain times we're not makbel on the moich dokuk, and certain times we will advise women not to use a moich dokuk. There are certain cases where we say, this time, don't use a moich dokuk. Okay? So sometimes people take that to mean, okay, so I don't have to use a moich dokuk, and they stop using a moich dokuk. The halacha is a person should use a moich dokuk. That's the optimal thing. A woman should use a moich dokuk. And there are times it's ma'akiv, as in a case where it's the first day of seeing dam. And that's, we'll see in a second, when that actually happens, that actually is a common thing that happens. Therefore, a moich dokuk should be used, and it should always be used unless advised otherwise by a moira hara. The Zayin Nikiyim, After both a successful hefsek and after the fifth calendar day, and on the special service as we spoke, the fourth calendar day of seeing dam, and she was mutter prior to seeing the dam. We'll see in a second what I mean by that. In other words, let's say a woman was usher to her husband when she saw dam, right? And we'll have a classic case in a minute. Then we don't have the 5 day problem. There's certain, it depends on the situation, but if a woman had a din of anida when she saw dam, so you don't have to wait 5 days. Because the whole reason why you had to wait 5 days is why you can't start Zayin Nikiyim, because maybe she's going to be poleta shifaser, the semen's going to come out of her, but she's not mutter to her husband. That's not going to happen. So if a woman had a din of anida when she saw dam, so then you will not have a problem. But okay, under normal circumstances, okay, what is required? This is something also people think. Well, your baidik is the first day, the seventh day. A woman is mechuyev to be baidik l'chadchila two bedikas a day. Boker v'erev, morning and evening. Okay? Why? Because she says in the morning, because maybe she saw, overnight she saw dam. In the evening, maybe during the day she saw dam. In fact, there are poskim that hold, I'm not telling you that it's halacha, a poskim that hold, let's say a woman goes to the bath in the middle of the day. She's going to make a bedikah then. Before. Why? Because it's possible that she's going to wash off dam that she saw during the day. So before she goes into the bath or takes a shower, she should make a bedika, because the whole idea is that she has to catch any dam that possibly happened during the day. Okay, that's morning and evening. If bedikas are missed b'di'evet and only b'di'evet, day one and day seven are essential. Okay, that a woman, if you look in the Ramah will say that if she misses either day one or day seven, She cannot go to the mikveh. She cannot go to the mikveh. If such a situation happens, call a competent rav, because there are kulos in the situation. But if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is 1 in 7 are essential. Okay. Now, a woman must wear white undergarments. Now, I put in parentheses sheet and bedclothes. Most paiskim, and certainly most American paiskim, hold that the halacha is that if a woman goes to sleep with white, if you look in all the paiskim before, a woman has to have white sheets, right, during the Zayin Nikim, and a woman has to have a white pajamas or white nightgown, because she might see diamonds. She has to catch the diamonds. She has to check it. Now, if a woman goes to sleep with white undergarments, most paiskim hold it's not necessary, because any kesem, any stain that will come out, will come onto the undergarment, and therefore it won't be a problem. That's only if a woman wears tight-fitting underwear, meaning that it can't be lost outside of the underwear, any flow of dam. Now, lahalacha, a woman, it's not only that she has to wear it, she must be checking them. When she takes off her undergarments, she has to check them. If she has wives, she has to check the sheets, because that's the whole idea. The whole idea is that she sees that she be naughty. Now, I'm going to say the next thing, which I think to most people is going to be obvious, but I had someone come to me, and they taka made a very, very bad mistake. They were making a very bad mistake. They were actually only having 6 Nikim and not Zayin Nikim. So I will tell you the following thing. The way to know your wife is going to the mikveh the right night is Lamashu. Today is Tuesday. Okay? If today was the 5th day and she made a hefsek taira today, the next week she goes to the mikveh the earliest Tuesday night. Okay? So it's a week plus a ben hashmashus. It's the same night after the night of the hefsek taira. That is how a person knows that they have Zayin Nikim. That is the procedure of Zayin Nikim. What I'd like to mention one more thing, and I failed to mention over here, when we discussed that a woman is mechuyev to make a bedikah after she sees Zivas Dover Lach, which is number 3, Roman numeral 1A3, there is a very big kula, which most of the parts can agree with. Let's say a woman feels discharges. She makes a bedikah. She feels that Zivas Dover Lach. One time she makes a bedikah. She finds a mucus that's light, that's a very light color. And she feels it again another time, and she makes another bedikah and she finds the same thing. If 3 times, okay, she finds the same thing, she can assume she has a chazakah that her zivas davar lach is lav dafka. She no longer has to make a bedikah. Because since she discharges things that are not dam, she has a chazakah that she's discharging things that are not dam. So that hargasha no longer requires a bedikah. But I'd like to tell you a frightful story that I had. I had a call with this shayla. I learned that if a woman feels a flow, if she makes 3 bedikas, if she makes a bedikah 3 times, see 3 different times, she has a chazaka, she no longer has to check. So I just want to make sure that that's okay, because my wife just did what happened the 3rd time, and she made a bedikah, and there was only 1 little spot on the bedikah cloth. Okay? Now this is the thing I wanted to tell you. We said you need a shear. When do you need a shear? Yeah. Only by a kesem. Okay. After I heard this shayla from the guy, I said, excuse me, not only your wife doesn't have a chazaka, she's a neder, could you please get away from her? Okay. The guy thought she made a chazaka, she was machzik that she's betahirah, she never has to check herself. The woman was a neder deiraisa. I mean, the chos was deiraisa, maybe some person was suffic deiraisa. I called up 3 older rabbis that teach me the kesem. It wasn't a Talmud, but I said, listen, I don't want you teaching anyone about kesem anymore. You should tell anybody you got a kesem, go to Rav and Eshe Shaila. Because it is not the 1st time, it's not the 4th time, maybe the 10th time. You sure it's only a little bit on a bedikah cloth? On a bedikah cloth, the smallest thing is a deraisa. You gotta, one last. The only time that a shear comes into play is a kesem, is a stain found on clothing, found on undergarments, or on sheets. Every other case, it's 100% the smallest amount of issues. The Mitzvah Shem next week will discuss very many different aspects of the Harchokis, and the week following we'll do Vestas.